You know, what Pam said is pretty true. Is, you know, if there's ever a time in the life of this church, unity is now. And I know it's pretty easy for us to drop out 1 week, and then the second week's a little bit easier not to show up, and by the third week, you're not here at all. And we really, really know that our church has been hit pretty hard. There's a lot of stuff going on. You can kind of go across the room and, you know, people have been in the hospital. There have been people that have lost family members. We've lost friends. So Satan has hit pretty hard, but this is a time not for us to run. This is a time for us to be unified and to go, you know, all I can tell you is there's going to be one heck of a gang fight, but we're not going to back up. Amen. We're going to go forward. Amen. For the cause of Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Ever since we started breaking ground in that building, Satan has been messing with us. But I got to tell you, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? Amen. I want you to look at the title of the message today, and it says, each of our roads are different, but still, all means all. And here's what I want you to understand. In every one of our lives, the story that God is writing in our lives has not been written yet. There are still chapters that God is trying to write in all of our lives. One of the greatest challenges is that Satan wants to stop the story. Yeah. Satan wants you and I to get to the place to go, okay, I give up and I'm done. And I got to tell you, sometimes it's pretty easy to do that, to get to the place to go, I'm tired of messing with it, I'm tired of the hassles, I'm just tired, and then people want to back out and then they want to leave. Well, that's the time more than ever for us to dig in our feet, to go, I'm not moving. You know, God has planted me here, God has given me a reason why I'm here, and I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to accomplish what God wants us to do. Everybody in this room has a different road to walk. You know, I think the outcome is the same. I think God wants us to do the same. But everybody's got a different road to walk. But the key here is all means all. And we've joked about it. What does all mean in the Greek? What does all mean in Hebrew? It means all. It means everybody. In the midst of this, I want you to look at Luke 27. Now, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. And that's probably one of the most challenging things that God has asked us to do. Now, it's pretty easy for us to go that God wants us to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and body, and our strength. It's easy to say. It's easy to let it roll off your tongue. But the key here is it says that all means all. And that God wants us to love him with all of our heart. Not part of it, but all of it. And if you and I would begin to act differently, if we would love him with the all, it would be different. With all of your mind, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and candidly with all of your strength, and then to love your neighbor even as yourself. Sometimes people are not lovable. Sometimes we don't want to love them. But it wasn't a request. It was a command by God. Now, in the book of Luke, again, he says, if anyone comes to me. Now, when you read this, it sounds like God was pretty rough when he wrote this out. It was kind of like, boy, that's hard. But it says, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate. Now, if you and I translate the word hate the way we would translate it today, just amongst ourselves, then it would look pretty bad. But what God is trying to say with the word hate is this. Don't put anything above me. Don't put your father above me. Don't put your mother above me. Don't put your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters. Don't put anything above me. And he says, not even your own life. Because if you do, you can't be one of his disciples. Now, our love for the Lord has to be all-inclusive. You know, there's the passage about being lukewarm. He said, you know, sometimes you're cold, sometimes you're hot. But, you know, he said, sometimes you're lukewarm. He said, I'm going to throw you out of my mouth. Vomit you out of the mouth is what I think King James says if you're lukewarm. God is looking today for a group of men and women who are hot. Not cold, but hot. People who are willing to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength for days just like today. You know, Dwight went into the hospital. Dwight went in the other day. His temperature was 106. We went in 2 hours later, and it wasn't us. God went in. We just had the privilege to go. 2 hours later, it was 98.4. That's God and God alone. Y'all know Richard, who had sung in our choir for years. Last week, Richard went by ambulance, and he went this morning again by ambulance. That's Satan. Satan wants to knock this church down, and I'm telling you that you and I have an opportunity to do one of two things. We can get knocked down and stay on the floor, or you and I can get back up. And we've all heard the definition of a Christian. A Christian is one who will continually get back up. Because I'm telling you, Satan's going to keep trying to knock us down. But you and I have got to get to the place to love our Lord in an all-inclusive, all-consuming, nothing left in our bodies kind of love. And there are no some that are excluded when all means all. So everybody in this room fits within that command if you're a born-again believer. If you have come to know the Lord, then you're to love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Now, in Matthew 16, Matthew says, if, he's talking about Jesus, but Jesus says, if anyone. So again, you and I have a choice this morning. But if you wish to follow Jesus, you're going to have to deny yourself. That means that he comes first and that you come second. But that means that you're going to deny yourself, and it means that you got to take up your cross. And everybody here has got a different cross. And then it says to follow him. Ever since Dwight Raven started the ministry in the back, where he would meet with people to teach them how to minister to people who are going through cancer, Satan has hit him with both shoes. Well, okay, we know that that's happened. But see, you and I got a choice. We can let him fight the battle all by himself, and he's going to fight. Or you and I can get ignorant and cover him and go, uh-uh, you're not even getting past my shadow into Dwight. See, we're kind of at a place today, and we've all been there. This is a no-nonsense kind of life today. I think Satan's given his last hurrah. I think Satan's wanting to knock the church away. But again, we say greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We talked last week, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Either he is greater or he is not. Either we're going to allow Satan to win, or we are not. And it's not a game anymore. You know, I talked to someone yesterday who said, you know, after you preached the message, I went out in my car and I cried last Sunday because they said, you know, I'm tired playing a game. This isn't a game. Satan wants us to play like a game, but this is a matter of life and death. See, what do you have to give up in your life right now to be a true disciple? Talked to another person yesterday who said that they were going to go to college, they were going to do all this stuff, and they finally got to the place to go, we're not going, I want to become a pastor and I want to change the direction that I'm going. Sometimes you might have to give up your education to go, I don't want to be an engineer because God's calling me to the ministry. Other times God might say, you know, I know that you love that person and I know that you care for that person, but I got to tell you, that person can't be in your life right now because I want to send you over here to minister to this group of people, and that person would pull you down. Sometimes God might want you to sell your business. Your personal plans might have to go south. And, oh, goodness gracious, he might want you to give up some of your financial wealth to help a church. I don't know what God wants you to do, but I do know that all means all. And he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, you got to deny yourself. You got to take up your cross and you got to follow him. Now, there's two passages that I want you to look at. In 2 Samuel 24, the king said, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. For I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which costs me nothing. Yeah. You and I have to understand, if we're going to come up here and sacrificially give ourselves to the Lord, it's going to cost you something. You know, if it don't cost you anything, it doesn't work. And you know about a sacrifice, you can't have a sacrifice unless blood is shed. And I'm not saying that you and I get up here and cut ourselves and bleed, but I do know that the Lord's going, if it doesn't cost you something, then that's not worthy enough for me. He says in 1 Chronicles, but King David said, no, but I will surely buy it for the full price. See, King David understood what sacrifice was. He said, I'm not going to take something for free and then go give it to the Lord. What he was saying is, it's going to cost me something if I'm going to bend down and bow to the Lord and offer my life as a sacrifice. You know, sometimes it's when you come up here or you lay on the floor or you do whatever you do, sometimes it might cost you a little humility. Sometimes when we call and go, hey, we really need people to help in the back, it might cost you a little sacrifice of your time. And as we're building this building, I promise you, if you listen to the Lord, the sacrifice is it's going to cost you a little of your money because we're going to need that so that we can build this building. And I asked before, what is God asking you to give up? So that you can be a true disciple. Deny yourself and follow him. Because again, if it doesn't cost you anything, then it's really not a true sacrifice to the Lord. Now, let me show you what a true sacrifice is. It comes out of the book of Genesis. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. Now, you have to understand that God will never tempt you. But I'm going to tell you, God will test us from time to time. And he said, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. He said, take your son. Scripture says, your only son, whom you really, really love, Isaac, and offer him there as a burnt offering, which I tell you. I got to tell you, for most of us, it would have stopped right there. Yeah. Now think again about what he says. First of all, he calls Abraham, and he says, I want you to take your son, your only son. Third time, he emphasizes the one that you love, and then he calls him by name. He's wanting to make sure that he understands what he's about to do. And then it says, Karen is locked up again. Okay. The story is that Abraham rose early. This was nothing that Abraham sat down. He didn't ponder. He didn't go, I'll seek some religious advice. He didn't say, I'll go talk to some of my people and get wise counsel.
Abraham said, okay, I've heard from the Lord, and I'm going to get up early just as God had told me to do. And there has to be a willingness if we're going to be a sacrifice to the Lord to obey him, no questions asked. Abraham, it then said in Scripture, split wood. Now, you know, you got to think about this. He says, okay, I want you to take your son, your only son, the one you love, Isaac, and I want you to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Abraham got up early, split wood. Now, one of the things about Abraham is he knew that there was going to be an offering to the Lord. That was not a question for him. And then, which is so important in the midst of this story, he does everything that God wants him to do. And I don't know what God has asked you to do. Norma, I know God's called you to come back and sing, and that's been a blessing. You know? Leo, he's asked you to sing. That's a blessing. Larry, to sing. Dwight, he's asked you to start that ministry. That's a blessing. He's had more opportunities now to touch people going through cancer than ever before. And do you think that that's something that Satan wants? Uh-uh. But the thing that is so powerful is that Abraham told the people, he said, the lad and I, we're going to go up and worship. And we're going to return to you. Now, what kind of faith does Abraham have? See, Abraham is a man that knew there's death and life in the power of the tongue. He could have gone up the hill to go, I'm going to take the lad, but I'm not bringing him back. But no, he says, no, the lad and I are going to go up and worship just like God told us to do. But we'll be back. And then even Isaac spoke. He says, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? Yeah. That's got to be cold, man. I mean, you know, he's listening. He's going up the hill, packing up the wood, doing all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, there's only one piece missing in the midst of this story. Where's the lamb? And his daddy says, God will provide. And even when it got to the very point, having him up there, and you talk about a son that's obedient, I got to tell you, I don't know if I'd let my daddy tie me on top of that deal, put me on top of a bunch of wood, go, yeah, come on, you're right. Oh, wait a minute, there's a little problem going on here. You didn't hear or I didn't hear, but I ain't staying right here. Uh-uh. But he was obedient to his daddy. And just about the time that he stretched out his hand, obedience is always required. God said, don't do it.
Amen.
And he turns, and the sacrifice has been caught in the thicket. And the question is, how long was that ram in the thicket? And I'm here to tell you, it was there from the beginning of time.
Amen.
Amen. Where is your ram? Where is it at? I think it's in the thicket. It's the same place. And it's been there from the beginning of time. But sometimes it takes obedience to climb the mountain to find the thicket. And then to have the obedience to look to see, there's what I've been needing all my life right there. And that's the ram that God provided. Karen, in Luke 10, 1 and 4, it says, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and to every place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Church, I got to tell you, the harvest is plentiful. There are more people outside the walls of this sanctuary that need to hear about the Lord. Amen. Pam and I went to go eat the other day, and, you know, it was kind of like, well, Keith, you've been talking about it. Now the Lord provided, and we went to a restaurant. And there's a lady standing out, and they've got some kind of little structure. It was like a Texas Ranger or something. and she wanted her picture taken. So she was standing there, and when she moved her arm, you could see the marks on her chest where she was taking radiation. Well, I smiled, and Pam went in the restaurant. I went in the restaurant, and the Lord goes, really? I walked back out the restaurant, and I said, ma'am, I said, Lord said to go pray for you. Would you allow me to pray? And she said, I would most likely love for you to do that. And I sat down and prayed for that lady, and we went back in. You know, the thing about this is that there is a misconception on what it means to have a working understanding of the spiritual concept of faith. Look at the very last sentence on this. It says, carry no money belt with you. Don't carry a bag with you. No shoes. Greet no one along the way. And what the Lord wants us to understand is that He's the one that calls us. He's the one that tells us where to go, what to do, and how to get it done. And there is sometimes the Lord goes, I don't want you to do anything except let me put you in a position. Don't take anything with you. Don't get all prepared for what you're going to say. Just be obedient to me. And when I put you there, then you're going to be able to accomplish what I've asked you to do. Now, sometimes in Scripture, when those disciples came back, it says, well, we don't understand. You were going to do this, or you wanted us to do this, but it didn't work, and it was all about a demon. And he says, oh, only through prayer and fasting. I mean, that's a little bit deeper relationship here. This doesn't mean you just go and it doesn't work. It means sometimes you and I have to get so prayed up and that we feed the spiritual body and not the physical body to be able to accomplish what God is wanting us to do. Now, you know the definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things that have not yet been seen. For by it men of old gained approval. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now, look at the rest of this. For he who comes to God must believe. But what do you have to believe? That He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. See, faith is the very essence of the Christian life. Do you think Abraham, without faith, could have walked up that mountain and sacrificed his only child? No. Do you think that Abraham could have said, you know, God's going to provide, Isaac, it's going to be okay? Do you think he could have said to the people that were around him, the lad and I are going to go up and worship, but we're going to come back? You can't do that without faith. And what do you think Satan wants to steal from you and me? He wants to steal our faith. And sometimes it's pretty easy to do. Acts 1:4, it's about Pentecost, but it says gathering them together. See, Pam said before, let's don't forsake the fellowship. There is a time that we all going to pull away and go get some rest, and I understand that. A lot of people on Mother's Day went and saw the mom. That was a great thing to do. My mom's not here. And I don't have that opportunity. But, you know, there's a time where you got to get back together. And the Bible says don't forsake the fellowship because there is strength when we are in numbers. So it says gathering them together, he commanded. He didn't ask them. That wasn't a request. But the scripture says he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. See, faith is pouring out our entire reliance upon God. You know, Mike and Cindy built a church, and then they built a new building. I got to tell you, there was a lot of reliance on God for all that to work. Well, we're doing the same things right now, and I'm going to tell you up front, you and I can't do that in our own strength.
Amen.
It will stay just like it is if you and I approach that building in our own strength. What we have to do is to approach God and put our total reliance in Him. Amen. To go, God is the one who builds the house. Because if God doesn't build the house, then the house is built in vain. But what Jesus said to the disciples is what they did. Now, how many people in this room, if I said, okay, on Friday night, we're going to come, and we're going to wait right here till the Holy Ghost shows up. We ain't moving. We're going to stay right here. Maybe 50 might show up. How many are going to stay here till the Holy Ghost stays up? I mean, it'd be like, if the Holy Ghost don't show up pretty quick, I got to go. How many people are willing? And the great thing about the disciples is they put their reliance on what Jesus said. They had faith, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And then their wait was answered. And when Jesus tells us to do something, church, sometimes we just need to do it. It don't need to make any sense, because most of Christianity doesn't make sense anyway. Mm-hmm. Scripture says, by faith, Abel. Now, he offered a better sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken to heaven. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Mm-hmm. Could you prepare an ark if you didn't even know what rain was? Sure, I'll go out and build this big boat. I'll do whatever. What's a boat? Yeah, I'll do whatever you want. Okay, I'll do that. And it's going to do what? Rain. Want to explain to me what rain is? But Noah did it. Everybody made fun of him. You go, you are crazy. Even his wife said, you've lost your ever-loving mind. Going to build a boat out here in the middle of nothing? What's wrong with you? Because it's going to rain, honey. Well, how do you know? Because the Lord said it's going to rain. What's rain? I don't know, but I just know something's coming. But he did it. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Sarah conceived. And I'm here to tell you today, what does God want to conceive in you if you would, by faith, just be obedient to Him? By faith, Moses left Egypt. There's a lot of people in here today been held in bondage for a long time, and it's going to take one step. All it's got to take is one step of faith, and you're going to be able to get out of the bondage that you have been in for years. Rahab was a harlot. She was trash. She was nothing. But by faith, she didn't perish because of the promises given to her. The list goes on. By faith, Gideon. By faith, Samson. By faith, David. By faith, Dwight. By faith, Lori. By faith, Pam. By faith, Oscar. By faith, we're going to go where God wants us to go. The church, why? Because Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, you got to believe, church, that he is who he says he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Amen. Now, we know that the Great Commission says, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, that's the command that God has given us. But look at the passage underneath. And it shall be in the last days that God says, I'm going to pour forth of my Spirit on all of mankind, on your sons and your daughters. And they're going to prophesy. Amen. And it goes back to the deal that God's power is not limited to a few, but it is to all. If you and I would take God serious, if you and I would be a part of the all, which you are, but that you would understand the importance of your role, think what God could accomplish through the all. Currently, right now, it's part of, but God says, I don't want part of your heart. I don't want part of your strength. I want everything you got, and I want everybody that has confessed me as Lord to be a part of this mission. Matthew 8 and 26, and he said to them, why are you afraid? Here's my question to all of us. Why should I be afraid passing some lady that looks like she's going through cancer treatment? Why should I be afraid to go over and lay my hands on her and pray? There's one reason: pride. Rejection. Ooh, I don't want that lady to go get out of here and leave me alone. But see, God didn't say anything about that. God just said, that's the woman. That's why you came here. Yes, you guys are going to get to eat some dinner, but that's why you're here. Just to pray for that lady right there. Amen. So that I could put the touch upon her. Pam and I will probably never see her again. And if I don't ever see her again, I don't know and don't care. But here's the greatest thing of all, is that the God that I worship imparted his word into her on that day. And I'm going to lead by faith where the Bible says that you could touch those. These are the signs that will accompany them that believe, that you could lay your hands on those that are sick and they shall recover, is what Scripture says. He said to them, why are you so afraid? And he said, you men of little faith. Then he got up. He rebuked the winds. He said to the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed. See, we've got to get to the place in church that when someone comes up here, or we go to someone's home, or we lay hands on someone, or when Dwight's at the hospital the other day with 106 fever, and we go up there and lay our hands on him, and he leaves because the God that we worship was imparted into him, and his fever goes to 98.4, and we're like, wow! No, we need to go, no big deal. That's God, man. I mean, you know, we came up here, did what God told us to do. And, you know, God, that's just an expectation. God said he will. We did. It happened. And it's going down the road like that. But then they asked the question, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey? And it goes back to what I said before. If God be for us, who could ever be against us? He is the God of God, the kings of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He is the I am. He is everything that you and I need in our life. But church, faith and faith is not the answer. You can't have faith and faith. You got to have faith in the one that provides the faith. And that's God. Look at Matthew 17. Jesus answered and said, you unbelief. You think he got an attitude right now? I think he's fed up. And I think if he looks at America today, he's fed up. I think he could say that to you and me today. You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring him here to me. Now, the whole idea is there's a boy that has been demonically plagued, and the disciples can't do anything. Jesus rebuked, and the demon came out. The boy was cured at once, and he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Amen. Here's what God revealed to me. We've all grown up to look at the mustard seed as something very small. And if you and I just got the, just that little bit, no. What God's wanting us to know is that a mustard seed is all powerful. It's a little tiny seed that's got extraordinary power. And it's not the size of the seed that's the emphasis, but it is the strength of the seed. See, when we are weak, church, that's when God makes us strong. When you put that seed in the dirt, it does nothing. God comes in and makes that seed what he wants it to make. And God's looking at you and me, the little seeds, to go, how powerful are you really? Are you going to put your faith in yourself? You're going to put faith in faith? Or are you going to put faith in me? Because with me, it's all possible. With you, nothing's possible. But with me, if you come and get involved and just do what I tell you to do, we can move the mountain from this side and we're going to move it over here. You're going to move the sickness from that side and we're going to push it out to the sea. We're going to take your lack and we're going to make it more than you ever had before. It's about the strength, church, of the seed that's in you and in me. Acts 9:36, now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. Now I want you to put yourself in this situation. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and she died. Disciples heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him and said, do not delay. Come to us. So Peter arose, went with them. They brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him. They were crying. But Peter sent them all out, and he knelt down, and he prayed, and he turned to the body, and he said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, here's my question to all of us. When Peter arrived, I wonder if anyone was thinking what Peter thought. If you were in that situation and Tabitha was dead, I mean, what would you be thinking about? Oh, I wonder about, you know, what funeral home we're going to use, what phone calls we need to make, and all those other kind of things. Or would you have been like Peter to go, uh-uh. Let's think about God raising that person from the dead. Think about the situations in your own personal life. You lost a job, or your car doesn't work, or whatever that situation might be. Do you think maybe you could be like Peter to go, I'm not going to just sit still for this. I wonder what God might do to raise my situation from the dead. Got to tell you, sometimes we're like the women. We just start crying and whining, going, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. And God goes, you don't, but I do. Amen. Now look at James 2 and verse 20, and y'all know this passage. But you're willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless. There are three components of faith. First of all, you have to listen. Number two, you got to believe. Number three, there has to be action. See, faith isn't knowing what to do. Faith is knowing that God's going to do what he promised that he would do. Amen. And no doubt, Peter heard God's voice. But what Peter did that most of us don't do is that there was a moment in Peter's life where he put action to what he heard. And I'm sure God says, do not leave this room. Kick every unbeliever out. Take everybody that doesn't believe in the resurrection. Take everybody that doesn't believe in the power of God. Get them out of this room. And then I want you to close the door. And then I want you to do what I've asked you to do. And he knelt by the side of that bed and he said, Tabitha, get up. Because the word of God now has been imparted into you. Amen. And what Satan has meant for bad, the word of God turned it to good. Now get up, Tabitha. And Tabitha got up. And I got to tell you that she was a witness for all to see. Church, we all have a different road to travel. Faith is not always clear. There are times that God is going to ask you to move forward. And I'm telling you, it's almost like driving a truck with a dirty window. You cannot see where you're going. But that doesn't prevent us from going in that direction. I also got to tell you that faith isn't easy. Sometimes God's going to ask you to do things that make no sense at all, but it's not about what God's asking you to do that makes no sense. It's about what God's asking you to do. Sometimes it's not going to overflow, church, with confidence. And sometimes there's not a kind of nonstop assurance that this is even going to work. But no matter, it is required by all. Because without faith, church, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
We are all part of the all. God has spoken, and you've listened. But here's the two pieces. Do you believe, and will you respond to what God has asked you to do? Let's give God a hand clap of praise.